Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Super excited that you're listening in. You're going to be rewarded today. We've got a great conversation with Pastor Darren Moranti from First Church of Christ, Burlington, Kentucky. This is a fantastic church. Interesting story that God's writing here today, and I am super pumped for you to listen in. This church was founded in 1964. Darren has been the lead pastor there since 2016. It's one of the fastest growing churches in Kentucky. They've got two campuses. I suspect they're thinking about more in the future. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me, man.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited to introduce people to your church. Why don't you give us a sense, kind of tell us about the church. If people were to arrive this weekend, what would they experience? And then give us a sense of kind of what's been happening in the last few years.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique dynamic. I've fortunately been able to be here for the last 17 years. Came in 2001. I was in grad school, getting my degree in counseling, planning to go that route, and realized life change happens in the church, and so stayed the course. I'm in my fifth different position here at the church, lead pastor for the past 2 years. So culturally, naturally, in a 54-year-old church, you can experience a lot of changes over time. And so we had a senior pastor, L.D. Campbell, was here for 38 years. Wow. Greg Marksberry followed him for about 7 years. So I'm just the fourth lead pastor in 54 years. So, you know, I'm the youngest pastor, I guess, back in the day, which would have been literally 45 years ago. L.D. was 28. But when I took this position, I was 37, which was a significant cultural change from, you know, what people would naturally see and experience specifically through the message. So naturally what you would expect is you're going to start to see a lot more younger families come in. It's going to skew a little bit younger, which is exciting. But the upside of a 54-year-old church with great leadership throughout it all is what I personally love is we have a lot of people represented in every single life stage. And so our retirees, it's a strong group. And now we're seeing a lot of young families come in and all of us doing church together, creating a culture that resonates and really supersedes any life stage, even reaching down to our corporate worship experience, engaging the middle schoolers and high schoolers. It's a huge deal. And it's common conversation. And establishing opportunity for ownership there early. So they're transitioning to something that's already known and experienced and something they even get to influence. That's where we get hyped. I mean, that's a significant challenge. And when we have that conversation, even at 39 years old now, I feel old. There's a long time ago that I did youth ministry, but it's important, you know, and I understand that, you know, I'm replaceable. We all are. And we need those people to speak into it if we're going to continue to reach young families and even the young adults. So.
That's really cool. Like, I love that dynamic. One of the things we see time and time again is in churches that are growing and making an impact are particularly the key leader, the lead pastor, senior pastor, whatever you call that in different churches, have been there for a long time. It's unique. Your particular scenario is unique, having done kind of every other job in the church and then, you know, now sitting in the lead role. That is I think, a really strong sign of your leadership and obviously then the community's trust in you. That's amazing. Well, you guys have been growing, you know, pretty significantly over these last, you know, few years. What would you, you know, and that can be difficult. It's so funny because I think everyone, having worked myself within a fast-growing church, I think everyone looks on that and says, like, wow, that's amazing. That would be incredible. But there's, like, problems that come with that, you know, getting people connected, finding a way how you get them plugged in can be really difficult, right? That can be a hard process. How is your church wrestling with that? What does that look like for First Church?
Well, you know, I had been here and so kind of, you know, lived through the different mood swings, for lack of a better phrase, you know, throughout those 17 years. And, you know, back in the day, you know, if you grew up in church, you could grow a church on good preaching and pastoring, right? And so that's changed. And so, 20 years ago, not a whole lot of people were talking, at least from what I've, you know, my experience, a whole lot about strategy and vision. You just create a great experience, a lot of people will come.
Right.
And so, you know, with that, I feel like we had to, you know, get better, a little bit more narrow focus when it comes to what are we doing and even more so, why are we doing it? And how does that play out when it comes to reaching people, to making disciples? And so that plays out, you know, on a large scale, you know, beginning with culture. So 2 years ago when I transitioned, that was the biggest challenge, is really paying attention to the culture that we have. That was your first question. What are people experience when they walk in? the DNA of First Church has always been a welcoming, friendly, accepting church. But now I think we live in a day and age where people are like, what's even more so, what's the point? What are you about?
Right.
What can I be about if I'm a part of this? I don't want to just attend.
Right.
I think back in the day, you know, people were content. Like, I'm going to attend. I like the church experience. Sunday's the main point. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anymore. And so we kind of, refreshed the culture. You know, number one, establishing a newfound sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. You know, the primary reason why we exist is to reach the people who are not here. It's mm-hmm. not to have church, to do church, to cater to the people who want convenient options or whatever it might be. The goal is not for you to just get something out of church. Mm-hmm. So creating that sense of urgency, but also the culture of how it's a catalyst. Sunday's not the end, it's the beginning.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
The goal is to help you succeed in your everyday life. It's right. not to get a bunch of people to come to church.
Right.
It's like, here's your part in the story, you know, how you can play a part in everyday mission and your personal ministry. And so Sunday is equipping. Sunday becomes a catalyst mm-hmm. for the rest of the time when your work, your efforts really matter. Hmm. It's not just, oh, that was a nice message. I got something out of it. I'm inspired for the day. I'm good to go.
Right.
It's like now, right? We speak into the fact that our church is a family. Mm-hmm. Sunday's an opportunity for rest and for equipping. And then when we go. Like, all right, now we're going to take what we've experienced. We've met with God. We've been equipped. And now the hard work begins. And so all of that kind of wrapped up in that sense of urgency, people understand, kind of taking the lid off and what this really means to be a part of a church. Hmm. Way past just attending, and so I think that establishes a stronger connection, right? Mm-hmm. You really sense that you're part of a family that cares about you and is there for you, a family that equips and wants more for you in your everyday life and really sets you up to succeed. Like, I got to get to church because right. I'm better for the rest of the week if I miss it.
Right.
It's not just about having a great experience at church.
Right. I love that. Now, what? So, first of all, I think that I want to underline what you're saying there. I think too many times we can skip that step. And, you know, at the end of the day, I love that idea of, and even just that language around creating a sense of urgency, right? At the end of the day, we can't, churches that are growing, I've often said there's an air of anticipation. There's like a, you know, you better get there this weekend because something is going to happen, right? There's something important being said. There's, you know, there's a mission being declared. That's amazing. Now, when you, I'm picking up from what you're saying, which may be me misinterpreting what you're saying, but it seems like that was maybe a bit of a shift or a tweak or a clarification of what had been there, a bit of a change. How did you go about communicating that? What did that look like? And then, you know, what did you do with, was there any resistance to that? Or everybody was like, yeah, let's go for it. You know, what did that look like?
Yeah, I think it's just being more intentional and on a regular basis, kind of framing what's at stake.
Yep.
Like, you know, there's a lot at stake, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what we get to be a part of the most important work in the world. And so I would say that's where it started, but especially beginning with our elders and our staff, communicating that we all have to be in this together. And mm-hmm. so I've always been a highly collaborative leader. I'm not the guy who goes up on a mountain for a week and comes down and says, all right, God gave me a word. Here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, we're going to figure this out together. You know, this past week we had a vision night with over 100 of our ministry leaders. And I encourage them to help us shape this, this next step, right, that we're looking to take, because it's easy for us as staff to be in our bubble and to come up with good ideas that are actually bad ideas. We communicate them at large to people who are living in the trenches of everyday life, 9-to-5 jobs, are saying, yeah, I have a friend who's never been to church. And if you do that, they'll think that's really cheesy, or they'll never come to that, or that won't stick, or that won't connect. So their feedback is valuable. And so shaping that going forward, and kind of, you know, again, church is a family, including everybody in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a decentralization of staff, right? We're not organized around personalities. You know, we even say to the staff, none of us are a big deal, mm-hmm. right? Because again, scripture, Ephesians 4, all of us are ministers, and it's not a tagline. It's something that we actually live out. So we're not going to make it a point for everybody to know who the staff, the paid staff leaders are. That's important because they're carrying out the vision of the church and they're leading in their own capacities, but we're constantly pushing leadership and influence down throughout the church body. So you're building, there's more ownership across the board. Mm-hmm. That a tender mindset. It's like, this isn't something that I watch or that somebody else puts on for me. It's something that I get to be a part of, that I help shape, and we're moving forward together, and I have a voice, I have a sense of ownership. Not to the point where it's like, hey, there's surveys and hey, we're going to vote on this issue. Not like old school like that. Mm-hmm. But people understand that we're figuring this thing out, you know, called church together. We're going through life you know, together.
Yeah, very cool.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So it would appear as if that has translated to, you know, guests arriving, you know, people actually showing up on the weekend. And, you know, I think a lot of churches struggle at that moment. One of the things I've said to many churches over the years is, you know, most churches don't have a problem with getting guests to come to your church. Actually, the problem is to get them to stick and stay. How do you get people actually plugged in? How do you get them involved in serving in small groups, all that kind of stuff? What are you guys doing on that front? What does that look like for First Church?
Yeah, that's been a long term. We've never gotten to a point in 54 years where we figured that out. And so we understood that we got to figure it out. And, you know, I'm part of one of my buddies' church, Mosaic, in Baltimore. And, you know, it's a smaller church, and you know, Carl Cole is the pastor there. And I'm like, yeah, these guys are so far ahead of us. Like, it's embarrassing as far as how they're tracking first-time guests, second-time guests, and their metrics.
Yeah.
And so it's something that, you know, became glaringly obvious. And so we met with Intentional Churches mm-hmm. about a year ago, did a full two-day there, and one of our takeaways, and we put together a team around this, were next step pathways. Mm. What does it look like to close the gap between a first-time guest and them stepping into small groups and serving? And so Brian Heckber, our outreach pastor, took on that. And it's funny because I told him I was doing this podcast interview, and he said, oh, that's interesting, because I talked to Rich's wife after Carrie Niehoff podcast. And so this might not be brand new information to
him.
Yeah,
that's good.
Your wife was influential, yes. You know, I didn't realize it till just yesterday. I was talking to Brian in shaping kind of that. And so closing the gap, because I feel like obviously we've been growing, you know, to a certain degree over 54 years. So naturally there's first time guests coming in, mm-hmm. but we don't know who they are. That's a significant problem.
That's an issue for sure.
And so with the next step pathways process that we put together, Brian's team, you know, we have them, you know, fill out their Connect card and take it back to what we call Guest Central immediately after the service and receive a free gift, which, you know, we're having that conversation about what's a meaningful free gift, right? That's not going to break the bank. And, you know, a cup is like, not like, oh, wow, it's changed my life kind of thing. But, but it's enough that people are seeking it out. And so, you know, I think the last 5 months, we're already at 374 first-time guests.
Wow.
Which, you know, we've never had a full year where we've had the information to know that we've had that many guests. Hopefully we've had in the past, but now we know. So then it becomes a clear next step. Now that we have the information, we've had the conversation and connection. Mm-hmm. And so from Guest Central, we encourage them, your best next step is what we call first step, which is on a Sunday morning.
Before we move on to that, let's talk about, because I don't want people to miss this. You'd be amazed at how many churches miss what you've already done. And you just kind of rolled over it there, which is fine, because I know, I want you to underline what you said there. So, you know, here you are, the point of the gift is ultimately to get people's contact information. It's, you know, the idea is it's an exchange where we're, and a lot of churches do first time guest gifts, but they're not collecting information on the back of that. They're just like, hey, if you're new here, pick up a cup. Why are you doing that? Like the point is to get contact information. If you can't, and really the goal, and that I think all of our churches are trying to figure out where that line is. We basically are trying to provide a high enough value gift that people will identify themselves. But there's going to be a lot of them, so you need it to be a low enough cost. And you know, coffee mugs, you see a lot of those, t-shirts, that kind of thing. That's good. But at the end of the day, the gift is really all about just people raising their hands and saying, hey, I'm new here. So then from there, you're encouraging people to get plugged into First Step, I think is what you're calling it, right?
Yeah, and I'll go back just to add some, you know, because it's about connection too. We're constantly communicating, you know, being more of an attender than an attender is connecting with other people. And so we have a host, you know, before, I would say 6 months ago is when we made this transition. You know, I would do the welcome, I would do the message, and I would do the closing. I was like, come on, guys, it doesn't need to be the Darren Show. Like, every word spoken is coming from me. I know a lot of churches have been doing this for a while and do it a lot better than us. And so that's been great for our culture on a Sunday morning experience, is having different people host. Most of them are volunteers.
Oh, very cool. Love that.
Host is a volunteer. And so based on the message series, we'll have somebody be the host. We had a young couple when we did our series on mental illness and mental health. We had a young couple. He had bipolar disorder. We're like, we want you guys to be the host, right? Escalate his anxiety, right? You know, we don't make this worse, but it communicated the importance and how everybody matters there. All that to say, one of the reasons was logistically in the context of this conversation that we did that is so that I didn't get stuck down front.
Right.
So our host would say, you know, when he's saying, make sure you go to Guest Central. If you're a first-time guest, most important announcement, we'd love to give you a gift. Mm-hmm. Darren will be back there. We'd love to get the chance to meet you. And so I make it a point to be in the lobby, you know, as close as I can to Guest Central, between services, after services, so I can just bump shoulders and get that time with people. It doesn't necessarily have to be me, but they communicate that, hey, it's that much of our desire to get to know you, whether it's Darren or somebody else.
Right.
And as soon as they turn in their connection card, we have a team of people that stick around on Sundays. And so this is literally probably 20 minutes after the service, they're writing notes to these first guests that they just met. Mm-hmm. And they're going in the mail on Monday, and they
Fantastic.
Give soon after. And that just, again, communicates value. We're glad that you're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I to underline the host thing, I think that's an important thing. It multiplies folks that folks will talk to, you know, that, because when you're new to a church, you don't know who to talk to, right? And if it's just the pastor, then you're going to get run over. You know, that's not going to work. And if you have a host, or I even like that idea, one of the things I've encouraged a lot of churches, and we'll do it fairly often in our churches, we'll actually have two hosts, have a dialogue up there. So you're multiplying the people that folks will reach out to after the service, which is wonderful. Love that. So now, and then also, I love the intentionality of saying, oh, you know, we're going to actually, people are going to stay late today. We're going to get these notes in the mail. So they're arriving, I would think, like Wednesday, you know, which is be incredible.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's fantastic. That's great. Now from there, where do you ask them to go from there?
Clear for our next step is called First Step. Mm-hmm. And that's a 1-hour orientation that we do once a month on a Sunday morning. And Brian, our outreach pastor, leads that alongside of a team of volunteers, because we do it around round tables. Mm-hmm. We want it to be informal. We want it to be helpful, right? If people are taking the time to seek out, hey, what's First Church about? And that's the essence of it. Mm-hmm. Mission and values. I'm not a part of that except through video. I answer two questions. Why is it that we use the word family a lot when we talk about the church? You know, why is it that that's a high value, that we are a family going through life together? And the second is, what's the vision for First Church? Like, where are we going? And so they see that on a recording, you know, the same recording obviously showed each time, but it's primarily roundtable discussions facilitated by Brian up front. Because again, it's another opportunity for people to connect, bump shoulders with other people that might be in their neighborhood. They wouldn't meet them otherwise, hear their faith stories, journeys. It's a little bit, it's not in depth. It's not like, hey, open up about your church hurt in the past and stuff like that. It's like, you know, what brought you here and what questions do you have?
Now, what's been the impact of that? So you guys have been kind of 6 months in on this. What impact, what are you seeing it maybe culturally? How is it shifting things? Are there things that you've tweaked along the way to kind of try to improve? What is that? What's it looking like?
Yeah, we're always evaluating. Still 6 months in, it's pretty early. But again, the primary goal is to be helpful, because everybody's coming in, you know, with their own journey, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them are brand new to church at all. Some of them have moved into the area, but they've grown up in church. And so every conversation will be a little bit different based on what they actually need. That's why we do the roundtable discussions with the facilitator at each table, to find out a little bit of their context and their story, to answer the questions that they actually have. Because a lot of people, that's just the day and age we live in, they're on their church search, they're going to a different church next week, and so they want information right away. Mm-hmm. And so we're okay with that. You can come here, 1 hour, quick hit, get all the information you need, you know, church hop to the next church, and, you know, a lot of them circle back around. Like, hey, I just spent the last 3 months, you know, hitting all the churches in the area. Now I'm back.
Right.
That's a good compliment. Like, they checked them all out.
So. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's cool.
It's possible, but we're evaluating that, because we don't want it to be forced interaction, right? Mm-hmm. I'm an introvert myself. And so it's like, all right, turn to your neighbor and, you know, high five them and, you know, share about your deep, dark secret. You know, it's none of that, mm-hmm. because we want it to be safe. Mm-hmm. We want it to be like, you know, these people going and saying, hey, you got to come to this. It was helpful. It was informative. It gives me a clear picture of the DNA of First Church, their culture, and how I can be a part of it, which then, you know, I don't know if you have more questions about that, but then that leads into, at the end of First Step.
Yep. Where does it go from there?
Brian says, hey, your next step is our 1-hour class called Next Step, which is next week.
Nice.
So they don't know that coming in, but he actually hits it twice, hits it at the top. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to let you know where this is going. At the end of our 1 hour here, we encourage you to attend Next Step. We're going to get more specifically talking about small groups and serving. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he hits again, we'd love for you to come back next week. And, you know, we've had good return on that, because mm-hmm. that's something that we're paying attention to as well. But people all of this conversation is closing the gap. Mm-hmm. So a first-time guest who comes to Guest Central, if we say, well, we would love for you to step into a small group, or we would love for you to step into serving, most of the people are like, hold up, you know,
yeah. I don't
know. unpack your niche.
Yeah, exactly.
So this next step pathways process is about closing the gap, right? We call them baby steps. Mm-hmm. Make it as easy as possible to step into the next thing. And along the way, they're having more and more connections with other people. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily staff. That's not as high of a value. Mm-hmm. You never know how God orchestrates relationships and connections. And you're like, oh, wow, if I wouldn't have done this, I never would have met that person. And it's always cool to see people recognize somebody they've known for a while and like, oh, I didn't know you. Mm-hmm. You went here.
Right.
And that breaks down those barriers a little bit easier. And so each first step and next step experience is unique in and of itself because the makeup of that group is different and the connections that come about. So
yeah, that's cool. Now, how are you? There's a bunch of questions I have for that. So for people that are listening in, there's an important kind of strategy behind that, which is, and you're probably aware of this, or you might be aware of this, that getting people to return, a second time after that first visit is critically important for them to try to get them stick and stay. But even more important is actually the third visit. If you can get someone to come a third time to your church, the likelihood that they're going to stick and stay goes up dramatically. And so this idea of kind of they come once, they come to first step, and then next step, you're trying to align your strategy with that. I also love that if you would get up and say to people, what you should do is come to a 2-weekend class for 1 hour at a time, I guarantee you would not have as good a return rate as saying, just come to this one time thing. A lot of churches have done that kind of strategy, and I just think there's a certain amount of genius to that. Now, do you have a sense, and this may be putting you on your spot, sorry if you don't know this, but do you have a sense of what the conversion ratios are there? Like how many people are coming, of the 364 kind of first-time guests, how many have actually showed up into first steps, and then how many into next steps? Do you have a sense of that?
Yeah, I don't have those numbers in front of me, but let's see. This is May, and so we've done first step 5 times. We've had 374 first-time guests, and at every single one of the first steps, we've had more than 30 people. So you're looking at probably around 200 who've attended first step.
That's amazing.
So I haven't thought about it until you just now asked that. But so it would be over half of, amazing. You're always going to have this first-time guest that you still didn't track. Another thing, and it's embarrassing to say, but it's like, why aren't we using children's check-in more? Like, that's the easiest way to know how many first-time guests. Yes, you have, because they have to check their kids in.
Yes.
So we've been more intentional about using that, which is embarrassing because we could have been doing that a long time ago. It's like, that definitely helps because that's – you have to find out that way.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and again, I think the monthly thing is important on that. I think sometimes churches wait, they'll do this quarterly or twice a year, and you just don't get the return as opposed to the monthly thing. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's great. I also love that you're involved in the video, but that's really it. I think from a weight around you, I think that's a really intentional, great move to say, hey, we're trying to get you connected with other people. We're trying to get you plugged in. Now, you guys do have two campuses. How do you deal with, do you nuance this in the two locations? Are you running the same thing at both locations? How are you, kind of making that work in a multi-site context?
Yeah, it's the same. So our campus pastor at our other campus would lead it as well. So we're able to run these simultaneously.
Great.
Because, you want to create something sustainable.
Yep.
And of course, we're anticipating, we always want to be anticipating more growth. And so is this replicable as we, go to a third campus and beyond? And so those staff people are supposed to be high enough capacity that they can lead what we deem to be one of the most important things they can lead. Mm-hmm. And that's creating a connection culture for first time guests, safe environment that's helpful and leads them to that next step. So that's a no compromise thing. So
love this. This is fantastic to get kind of on the ground, fresh, fresh change. All that I think is just great. It's good stuff. Is there anything else you want to share before we move on with the rest of the episode?
Just along with that, we're even considering a third step, whatever you would call that. You always want to balance. You don't want to be like bait and switch. You'd be like, I was surprised you actually signed up for a 3-week small group experience. You don't want it to be that. But again, it's helpful. And so that third week, what we're considering is a tool I've been using all the way back since my youth ministry days is Strengths Finder. Mm-hmm. And what if somebody comes to that third step, and even if they don't stick at First Church, they still walk away equipped to do ministry wherever they land. Mm-hmm. And so making that third step possibly a Strengths Finder spiritual gifts assessment. And so it's, again, narrowing the focus, being as helpful as possible, and people realizing how God has wired them, shaped them to do ministry, whether it's here or somewhere else. Mm-hmm. That's something that we're considering. Met with Judd Wilhite and his team out in Vegas several months ago. Their pathway is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening to this, I would definitely do whatever you can to meet with their exec or their team that runs that. And, mm-hmm. Their analytics on the return of people is just fantastic. They do swag bag. You're probably familiar with all of the stuff. You know, they make a big deal about it. And so this is where we are now, and we're just looking to get better.
And the thing for, I think, all of us that are listening in, I think sometimes, and we were saying this before I got started, I love studying fast-growing churches. I love growing churches. And I think we're often attracted to the attractional side. Like, we look at the, like, great teaching and, you know, the band and all that stuff. It's like, which is all important. That's not important. Or we look at their advertising they're doing in the community and all that. But if you stare long enough, what you see is actually an incredible amount of intentionality around exactly what we've been talking about here. There's this incredible intentionality about not only are we getting people to come, but we're actually working very hard to try to get them to plug in and to stick and stay. And churches are investing, you know, a significant amount of resources and energy into to see that happen. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a high value to be highly relational because, you know, our worship guy and me, like, we'll never be the best show in town, right? If we're placing all our chips on the Sunday morning experience, it's going to be helpful. You know, we think it's great. We love it. But it's got to land on relational connection. There's always going to be a better show in town. We're not placing our chips on that.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round, that part of the episode where we ask similar questions of everyone that's on the show. So super excited to have Pastor Darren with us today from First Church in Burlington, Kentucky. Great church. Great conversation today, Darren. I really appreciate you being here. What's an online resource that you're using these days that's helping you out as you, you know, just as you do your work?
You know, in that area, I'm always coming across things that people that work for other people. And then, you know, I never get around to actually spending the time to do them well, like Evernote. I'm like, yeah, I need to do that. I've thought that for about 4 years now and have that. So something that is super simple that you can just download, you know, especially if you're writing messages, articles, whatever it might be, is Grammarly, you know, Grammar, L-Y. And that just helps you as you go. Emails even, and, you know, editing is a huge thing for me. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to that kind of stuff. And so that's just helpful and also humbling. It's like, oh, wow, all these years I thought a comma went there, but apparently it doesn't.
It's a great tool. I use it, you know, I write every week. I, you know, write in, you know, whatever, thousands of words for the blog and all that. And it's a great tool. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. And it's humbling as well. You know, you think you get better, you know, you don't. What's a book you've read in the last, I don't know, maybe 6 months to a year that's shaping your thinking or ministry?
Toward the end of last year, I read a book, Power of Moments. A lot of people probably heard of that, by Chip and Dan Heath. Yeah, super practical, fast read, and about creating memorable moments. Helps you on a lot of levels, whether it's parenting or ministry. And our intentional church coach, Lee Coate, who works at the Cross in Las Vegas. We were with him this past week, and we were kind of joking about this Next Step Pathways thing and, you know, about the cup, and they haven't landed on what's perfect, but, you know, handing out a cup to a first-time guest, like we said before, nothing flashy. It's probably going to collect dust somewhere. It's not usable. But it really forces us, you know, that power of moments philosophy places emphasis on how an experience ends. Determines when somebody looks back at, hey, did you enjoy that experience? Well, if the first 50 minutes were great, but the last 10 minutes really fell off, they're more inclined to say, yeah, it was okay. But if it's flip-flopped and the way that you end somebody's personal experience, whether it's through a message, a worship service, or a guest central, whether it's through a conversation or a gift, and creating a memorable moment, then it makes a mark. And it really, you know, just makes that circumstance, that moment stand out. So we were joking about, yeah, maybe we should hand out something random like pink flamingos, you know, is what Lee was saying. Not really going to do that.
Right.
At the same time, what are we doing to create memorable moments? So that book, you know, is highly practical. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff.
It's just helpful. Yeah, it's not always found, but it's helpful.
Yeah, no, very good. What's another ministry you're looking to that's inspiring you these days that's, you know, you're looking at and saying, there's interesting people to follow?
I've been a part of a lot of networking groups. I'm not big, you know, I guess I probably shouldn't admit this, you know, in this moment, but it popped in my head. I don't really watch a lot of podcasts. Not a podcaster. I read a lot and I network a lot. You know, I try to find myself around the table with other lead pastors or other guys, especially that are older for me, that I can learn from. And so currently, you know, it's been Ben Kacharis in Mountain Mission Church, you know, out there in the Baltimore area. And so he's put together kind of a mentoring group. And so that's valuable for me. And so ministry wise, we don't have like the IT church, like, hey, we want to become just like that. Yeah, you know, we're always looking around and seeing what other people are doing.
Yeah.
But I'd say, you know, and that's my encouragement for guys out there. Find people that are older than you, you know, that have, you know, been doing what you're doing for longer than you. And that's where I spend a lot of my time. And to you, I promise I'll try to get better at watching podcasts. As well.
It's fine.
There's just so much. Like, because I read so much, yes. You know, yep. Guys are constantly telling me about podcasts. So I have a list of, I need to check those out. And then, you know, right. Never get
to no, it, so. No, that's fine. That's good.
But I'm a learner.
Yeah, it's good. If you get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
I'd say probably Patrick Lencioni. You know, I've been reading his books, I don't know, probably the last 12, 13 years. I think he's the perfect balance of a relational leader, right? He's hilarious. You can just tell when he's upfront speaking, he's highly relational, but also strategic.
Yep.
You know, if you read his books, it's like, well, it's super practical, helpful. You know, he's a visionary, so... Mm. I'd love to get time with him on multiple levels. I'm sure it'd be very entertaining, but also helpful. Leading the staff here is one of my primary passions.
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot of guys, they just love to preach. So it's like the leading part probably comes more naturally to me than the preaching part.
Yep.
And I love to be connected to the staff around me. And so I'm always looking for ways, and Lencioni's stuff is, you know, equips me in a great way.
Cool. Well, I can imagine, that leading a church like yours, it takes a lot. And what do you do just to kind of kick back, relax, have some fun, you know, enjoy life a little bit?
Well, time with my wife is important. Been married for 3.5 years now. First one on the way, due date in 2.5 weeks.
Oh, so congratulations.
I think the margin for opportunity for fun, you know, from what I've heard, that window closes quickly.
Very quickly.
But we're both introverts. I think, you know, we're pretty boring people. We just, you know, we like to read, you know, we'll go to the park and go for a walk and read. And that's kind of the pinnacle of our excitement. And people assume, and we do love to travel, and people assume, well, you must live really exciting lives. And, you know, if they walked with us for a week, like, no, that's pretty boring. But just checking out, right? You know, Saturday especially is our day. We don't have Saturday service, and so we don't plan anything, and it's downtime. She's a second grade teacher, so we're both craving it. And so it's just, you know, when we read, you know, we might not interact, you know, for a few hours. We call it alone together. That's what we're good at, being alone.
That's very good.
Quiet time, and yeah, just time together. So
fantastic. Well, Darren, I really appreciate you being on the show. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the website's firstchurch.me. That's pretty easy. And, of course, they can email me, dcranty@firstchurch.me.
Great.
And, yeah.
Darren, I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity, man.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com, and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter @RichBurch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.